Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you any and all of you who are listening in. Today, we're going to continue to speak about the subject of peace. We want to have peace. I think everybody intuitively and instinctively wants to have peace. And so we're going to help with that and continue to help with that by adding another truth to our collection of truths that bring us peace. Remember that it is a collection of truths that we need. Peace in our lives, as we've said over and over again, but it's so important because people tend to miss this, and I have seen this as a pastor, that people miss this. Peace in our lives is not achieved by just one magic truth pill. It's achieved through a collection of ideas that we believe and also put into practice in some cases in our lives. Today we're going to talk about something that we put into practice. Achieving peace is more like having all the parts to a bicycle. Having a chain does not make a bike. Having two tires does not make a bike. Having a seat does not make a bike. In fact, you could have a chain, tires, wheels, handlebars, seats, all the rest of the necessary things. But if you didn't have brakes, you wouldn't have a very good bike. I can tell you that bike would not be an instrument of peace, but likely, especially if you're going downhill, an instrument of terror. Now, when it comes to peace, we need the whole collection of truths in our lives, not just one or two. And today, I give you from God's Word another instrument to help us achieve peace. And the truth I'm going to give you comes straight out of Romans 12:18. Romans 12:18. We're actually going to be in the end of Romans chapter 12 and into chapter 13 for just a few moments today. So if you're listening in and you have a Bible by you, you might want to have it open so that you can see and follow along with me. But here's what it says in Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Now that's a command. It's an action to take. Live at peace with all people. Now, it's true that we should live at peace with people in our families and in our church. We have explored a little bit of that, and we'll explore more of that in our study of peace in the weeks to come. But this text, this verse, is not so much thinking about those who are inside the church, but actually those who are outside the church. Paul, in verse 17, speaks about repaying no one evil for evil. Now, that's true certainly for Christians. We don't repay evil that a Christian does with more evil. But really, it's focusing our attention on those who would afflict evil on us who are outside the body of Christ. If you go down to verse number 19, Paul says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath." And the person who we might be tempted to avenge ourselves against is clearly not a Christian when Paul in verse 20 says, "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head." Nowhere do we see people in church as born-again brothers and sisters in Christ being spoken of as enemies. This is clearly talking about people who are outside the body of Christ. So as we think about living peaceably with all men, as verse 18 says, we're dealing with the unbelieving world, the non-born-again world that exists all around us. So how do we do that? How do we actually live peaceably with people around us? Well, in one sense, Paul answers that question in the surrounding context of his command. He gives us six admonitions to follow. Now, there are certainly more than these six that could be said about how to live peaceably with all people. I might refer to some of them in the future. But in this particular text here at the end of Romans 12 and into Romans 13, if you want to be a person of peace, Paul, in essence, tells us how to do it. Here's what it looks like. So he gives us those six admonitions, and I just want to explore them with you for just a few moments as we have some time together today. Admonition number one, do not repay evil for evil. If you want to live peaceably with the people around you, don't repay evil for evil. That's what verse 17 says. If you want to be a person of peace, you don't return in kind what people have done to you. This is one of those things that is actually incredibly hard. If someone punches me in the nose, my immediate reaction is to want to punch them back. Someone takes something from me, I want to take something from them. Someone shouts at me, I want to shout back. Someone slanders me, I'll slander them. Paul is telling us that if we're going to live at peace with people, you can't do that. That doesn't engender peace, that creates more strife and war. Now, let's qualify a couple of things here that will apply to this admonition, but also to a number of the other admonitions in this passage of Scripture. One qualification is this: Paul is not saying that we can never defend ourselves or never can defend our family. Someone I knew from college recently shared this story from the recent riots that are going on. He lives in a city in another state and in a heavy city area, I mean, actually in the city. And in that city and in his on his block, there was a pharmacy that was smashed into by some rioters. He stopped watching a movie with his kids and went outside. Cops showed up and dispersed the crowd. The pharmacy owner came out and began to clean things up a little bit and then left. And this guy I knew from college, he stood outside that building leaning on a shovel. Two more guys came up, as he described, as high as a kite, and asked, "Are you defending that building?" He said, "I'm just leaning on his shovel." They asked if he would let them in. He said, "Sure, but I'm not going to let you out." They didn't stay, needless to say. Now, that's not returning evil for evil. That was protecting a neighbor's property. So that's one qualification. Not returning evil for evil doesn't mean that we can't defend ourselves or defend others around us. On the other hand, not returning evil for evil does not mean that justice is never done. That is to say, it is right when evildoers are punished. The issue is that God has not given us the authority to do that on our own. And that means we can't do it by ourselves or even with a mob of people. What this not returning evil for evil is referring to is the hot-blooded response that wells up in us when something bad is done to us, where we just want to respond in kind. Fine, if you won't talk to me, then I won't talk to you. Fine, if you're going to rat me out to the boss, then I'm going to do the same to you. You will not be at peace if you live your life that way. You never will. Here's a second admonition that Paul gives that leads us to peace with all people. Second admonition is this: work at doing honorable things in public. Work at doing honorable things in public. In verse 17, Paul says, "Have regard for good things in the sight of all men." That word for good is translated as honorable in the ESV, and I think that captures the sense here. We should be people of goodness, people of decency, dignity, respect, and honor in our communities. And Paul says this is the plan to do this. Paul says, you have to plan to do this. Work at being this way. That phrase, have regard or give thought, is the idea here. Figure out how to be, as Jesus says in Matthew 5, lights in a dark world. The person who has regard, who thinks ahead of time, plans to do good things in the sight of all men, that's the person who doesn't make their house look like a trash heap next to their neighbors. They do the honorable thing, make it look decent. This is the person who helps keep their city clean. This is the person who participates in the noble events in town. This is the person who volunteers for the food shelf. There are 10,000 ways in which this can be true, but it's how you come to be seen as peaceable. You do good things in your neighborhood and in your city and the community that you reside. You want to be a person of peace with all men? You make sure you do the honorable things in public. Three, Paul says, you want to live at peace with all men? Do not avenge yourself. Do not avenge yourself. That's what verse 19 commands. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. It is not our place to take vengeance on someone for their evil deeds. And I got to tell you, this matters in the big things and it matters in the little things. We're not to take justice into our own hands, whether it involves the person who was a jerk to you on the highway or the person who stole all your tools out of your shed. Again, as I said before, there are matters of justice to be applied, but it is not our job individually to enact it, as if we are going to dole out the punishment necessary, we ourselves. Rather, we should, as verse 19 says, give place to wrath. What Paul means by that is to let God deal with these things. Here's the deal. The courts of this earth cannot get everything right. They cannot do everything and judge everything righteously. There are far too many disputes and crimes for them to keep up. They never have and they never will, whether it's in this nation or any other that has been, is, or will yet come before the Lord comes himself. There will be things that no court or law can fix or will fix, whether it's just because they're morally deficient or because they just can't keep up. What do we do as Christians when we have something that has gone against us? What we do is to let God take care of these things. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. That, by the way, is a future hope. Our hope is that God, either in this life or probably more likely in the life to come, will adequately and justly right every wrong. You know, people who stick out their chest and talk about how they will make you pay for everything that you've done to them, I've actually had people use those words, I will make you pay. Those are exactly the kinds of people that Paul says not to be. And that means that we don't talk that way. Not in person, for that matter, not on Facebook either. We don't talk that way. We don't act that way. Vengeance is the Lord. We do not avenge if you want to live peaceably with all men. Fourth admonition, if you want to live peaceably with all people, overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. That's what verse 21 says. Now, Paul quotes the Old Testament right before this to drive home what it means. Do not overcome evil with good, or evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul quotes the Old Testament right before this to drive this home. He says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Remember that the goal is to live at peace with people. The goal for us as Christians, and this is a hard pill to swallow, the goal for us as Christians is not to be right about everything and not to make everyone know how right we are. I know, I'm tempted with that like everybody else. The goal is to point people to Jesus Christ and to the glory of God and to the promise of the peaceful coming kingdom of Jesus. Thus, we seek to live in light of those greater realities toward peace. Therefore, doing good to people doesn't explode current situations. It diffuses them. Your enemy's hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him drink. It diffuses the anger and the wrath and brings peace. I want you to imagine that someone planted a car bomb in the middle of town and somebody discovers it. And so, there's somebody who comes out who's going to take care of this problem, and they come out with a gun and they start shooting at the bomb. Good idea or bad idea? Well, we know instantly, bad idea. Or somebody instead comes with a hammer and starts beating on it. Good idea or bad idea? Well, it's a bomb. It's a bad idea. Or someone comes with a blowtorch to torch it. Good idea or bad idea? We know the answer in each one of these cases. What is needed is for someone to come and carefully do the right thing by finding that wire that will trip the bomb, clip it, and defuse it. Well, the same is true with people around us. Instead of piling vengeance or evil upon people, why do we not just think about defusing them? And one of the greatest ways to do that is to diffuse them with goodness and diffuse them with grace and diffuse them with kindness. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you can't protect yourself or your family. It doesn't mean that justice cannot be pursued. But I find that 99 times out of 100, a little goodness and kindness kills evil fast. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, our world needs people like that. People who aren't there to blow up the problem, but are there to minimize it. I mean, just think about that in light of current events. How can we be people that diffuse the current tensions around us instead of exploding them. One way to do that is to show kindness and goodness to people around us. Number five, here's the fifth admonition to help us to pursue peace with all people. Number five is this: submit to the governing authorities. Submit to the governing authorities. Paul is continuing to discuss how to live in peace with all people in as we turn into Romans chapter 13. And there he speaks about the God-given role of government in our lives. Paul understood very well that there were times in which it was appropriate to disobey the governing authorities and to seek to get out of their hands. You can read about Paul himself doing such things. He knew that governments could be evil. I mean, for crying out loud, Nero was on the throne during much of Paul's life. They can still be evil. They often are evil. But the default position ought to be that of submission to the government. Look, you and I, we invite disaster to our lives in terms of peace whenever we make it a practice of intentionally rebelling against or resisting the governing authorities of our lives. We make ourselves targets of unrest, not peace, when we do these things. And number six, a sixth admonition that's given here in this end of chapter 12 here in Romans and into chapter 13, the sixth admonition is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul as he quotes from the Old Testament in Romans 13 here. And that brings peace. Think about what you would want if you were in their shoes. That's often what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. How would I want to be treated? Just try that for a moment. Try that with the person who is next to you. If you were them, how would you want to be treated? And let's think about this practically. If I accidentally pulled out in front of someone, how would you want to be treated? Imagine that you're coming out of a parking lot and you pull out in front of a car. You didn't see it coming. It's a total accident. You feel horrible about what you've did. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. The other car driver slammed on his or her brakes and stopped short of hitting you. And you have this moment as you feel terrible inside that you've caused this irritation to this other driver, where your eyes meet his or her eyes, the driver of the other vehicle. And you might even mouth the words, "I'm sorry," because you truly were. It was a total mistake, total accident. How would you want to be treated in that moment? Would you want that driver to start screaming at you? Would you want them to berate you? Would you want them to get out and start pounding on your window and telling you how stupid you are and what an idiot driver you are? You know what you would want. I would want that person to accept my apology. I would want grace. I would want forgiveness. I would want mercy. Should we not love our neighbors as ourselves? This is why Paul says this as he commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. He says this: for the commandments, all the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, they're all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This should be painfully obvious. Would you want someone to commit adultery with your spouse? Would you want someone to murder someone you love? Would you want someone to steal from you? Those are easy, but then we get into the harder stuff. Would you want someone to lie to you? Would you want someone to covet your things? Love of neighbor means that we treat others as we would want to be treated. And that, my friends, brings peace with all people. Now, these six admonitions allow us to live peaceably with all people around us. And quite frankly, they also bring us internal peace. Because if you return evil for evil, if you're not doing good things in your community, if you are taking vengeance, if you're responding with hate instead of kindness, if you're disobeying the governing authorities, if you're not treating people how you would want to be treated, do you think that you or I or anybody else acting in those ways will have internal peace? No. You will not only have external unrest, you'll be a person who's torn up inside. These admonitions not only secure for us the peace that we wish with people outside, but they also secure for us internal peace. For even just take this, when you do something kind to somebody who has done something against you, do you feel bad about that? I know how I feel. I feel at rest and relaxed, and all the weight of their evil is taken away. Let us be people of peace. People of peace. And that means that we live peaceably with all men, all people around us. Once again, thank you for tuning in. I hope this series on peace has been a blessing to you, and I know it's been an encouragement to my own heart. God bless you, and the Lord be with you all.